And episode number 30 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast is brought to you by the beautiful, lovely Manhattan that Rob V just made me before we started this podcast.
Welcome to the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Here's radio host and lifelong Yankees fan, Ralphie Aversa.
And yes, welcome to episode number 30 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. And I am in Cooperstown, New York. I'm actually on the deck, the patio of a house that we Airbnb'd here in Cooperstown for, of course, the induction of Mariano Rivera and Mike Messina, along with, of course, Edgar Martinez, Lee Smith, Harold Baines, and Roy Halladay. It was great to be at the induction ceremony earlier today. We're taping this on Sunday night. It's kind of weird that we're taping this on Sunday night because the weekend for the four of us here, me and plus three that are here, and you'll hear from them shortly, isn't over yet. We're going to meet Mariano Rivera tomorrow at this collectible store in Cooperstown, right by the Baseball Hall of Fame, called Seventh Inning Stretch. Mariano is going to do an appearance there. Quite pricey, $500 an autograph, $1,000 if you do the VIP, which includes an autograph, a few minutes with Mo, and then a photo with you, plus up to three other people in the group. So that's what we're doing tomorrow. We'll talk about the Mariano meet and greet experience in a later podcast. But in this podcast coming up, you'll meet the three people that I came here to Cooperstown with. We will talk about our experience in Cooperstown, what we liked, what we didn't like, and maybe even a little preview as well of what you can expect or what you should expect if you are going to come here next year to see Derek Jeter get inducted. Obviously, he hasn't been voted in yet, but at this point, it's pretty much just a formality. So, coming up next here on the Pinstripe Lanes podcast, from the deck of our house in Cooperstown, New York, late on Sunday night, we're on acres and acres of property, so thankfully nobody can hear us, but you'll meet who we came here with, and we will talk about the induction weekend with Mariano Rivera, Mike Messina, and more next here on episode number 30 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. And welcome back here, episode number 30 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Ralphie Aversa in Cooperstown. That's where we're taping this, as, of course, we attended earlier today the induction ceremony for the 2019 Baseball Hall of Fame class. Mariano Rivera, Mike Messina, along with Lee Smith, Harold Baines, and, of course, Roy Halladay as well. All right, let's meet the three people that I came to Cooperstown with. First, the guy that I mentioned at the top of the podcast because he made me my Manhattan. By the way, it's really great here. We all we have a preferred beverage and a cigar as well. So, Rob Valenti, I want to ask you what you're drinking, but what are you smoking? Do you know?
It's a Rocky Patel.
Ah,
Churchill. Not necessarily the cigar connoisseur, but it is damn good.
Yeah, and I should also preface this with the fact that, so I flew into Syracuse. My friends drove in from Western New York. They met me in Syracuse. We stocked up at Wegmans in Syracuse, and then there was a smoke shop on the way as we were coming down. I can't even tell you what town it was in. It was a very small town. If anyone remembers, shout it out at some point or another. But regardless, we stopped at the smoke shop and stocked up on the cigars. Anthony Restaino, what are you smoking over there, sir?
It's a Blondie Short Torpedo. It's beautiful, and I'd just like to correct that. Let's be real here. We drove in from Niagara Falls.
Yes.
Shout out to Niagara Falls.
Yes, we will shout out Niagara Falls. Well, Rob wasn't in Niagara Falls. That's why I say the more generalized Western New York. But yes, Anthony and his father, who you're about to meet, drove in from Niagara Falls. They picked up Rob in Hamburg and then came over to Syracuse, as Rob hopefully doesn't die on us by the end of this podcast. Anthony Restaino Sr., Anthony's father, is here as well. Anthony and I are smoking the same thing, so I'll let you do the honors here, because we both saw this cigar in the case and we were both like, oh, I think we should probably grab that one. And what is the name of that one?
It is a Bacharach Larry Rothschild.
That's it. it's a Bacharach Rothschild, but as soon as it just said Rothschild on the side, and as soon as we saw that, we said, you know what, I think that's the one we're going to get for this weekend here. Yankees, of course, took 2-3 against the Colorado Rockies. We've been checking the scores, listening to the games for the most part, as we've been here in Cooperstown for induction weekend. So These are my friends that I came to Cooperstown with. We planned this trip a while ago. It was really shortly after the podcast last season with John Shashatovsky, who's the head of communications for the Baseball Hall of Fame, gave us a lot of great tips. Again, if you're thinking about coming next year, I would go back into the archives and listen to that podcast. And then, of course, listen to what we're about to say now, because you'll probably get a few more tips. But John helped us out greatly. Anthony or Rob, I don't know who wants to take this, but as far as becoming a benefactor member, which is what both of you guys did, and that's how we received four tickets to today's little shot to Mad Dog there, induction ceremony. What was that process like, and was it worth it? I guess that's the big thing. Was it worth it becoming a member so you could get induction tickets today?
You know what, Ralph? I would say it was worth it. It was something I started looking at about 4 years ago, kind of timing all this out for after Mo and Jeter retired, knowing I wanted to be here for the ceremony, watch them get in. Mm-hmm. And it was great. I mean, the Hall of Fame, and I'm sure we'll get into more detail about all this, but the membership was slightly pricey, but at the end of the day, you know, we had seats at the induction today. We were going to be talking about that, obviously, and the way that the Hall of Fame treated you once you were in the induction site was phenomenal. You know, free admission to the museum, not only this weekend, but throughout the life of the membership for you and up to four people.
10% off as well?
10% off in the gift shop, exactly, unless my dad's there without me. They shut him out. But
so we have Anthony Restaino and Anthony Restaino Sr. Anthony Restaino Sr. picked up a few things at the gift shop, and you know, she asked if they've been asking obviously all weekend, are you a member? And he said yes, because he had, you know, his son's membership discount.
He had the member ticket
as well. And then she asked for the ID. And at this point, it's like, there's a lot. It's the Saturday of induction weekend. It's packed in there, which is one of the tips we're going to give you. You might want to stay away from there on the Saturday of induction weekend. Needless to say, you did not get the membership discount on Saturday, at least.
On Saturday, I did not. I think the young lady was a little bit frazzled. But today, I will say that I did get my 10% discount.
There you go. That was nicely produced. Yeah, we got in and out of there today, actually, which was really great. When you walk into the shop, if you move to the left, there's actually a remote kind of checkout that a lot of people don't utilize, and that we did. And so we got our postcards of Moose's plaque and Moe's plaque. They also made a postcard of Moe's plaque in Spanish as well, which is a limited edition. We picked up a few of those, along with a few other gifts for friends and family members as well. So that was the benefactor membership. You mentioned it being pricey, Anth. Rob, how pricey is it? What is the cost for a benefactor membership at the Baseball Hall of Fame?
Well, Anthony and I, we split the membership cost, so it ended up costing us $850. But that's $850 over the course of 2 years. I mean, really, for Anthony and I, when we started talking about this, I told him I was all in from the get-go. It's a two-year commitment. You know, we were buying in for 2 years. You know, as you said, Jeter's a foregone conclusion for next year. You know, so this is really an opportunity to experience Mariano's induction, but as well as is Jeter's induction as well. So when you start taking that number of $850 for me, having access to two tickets, and Anthony having access to the two tickets, dividing that out, $400, it's $200 a seat, basically, for the induction. For us, it became something I could rationalize.
About $200 a ticket, that really isn't that bad. I mean, think about what you spend if you go to Yankee Stadium for a game on a Saturday or Sunday. It's not much more or less, and this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing to see a legend get inducted, of course, into the Baseball Hall of Fame. So that's what we did. That's how this all started. Anthony and Rob kind of got the ball rolling there, and then thankfully Rob's brother Nick, who hopefully is listening to this, bowed out, and I was able to sneak in as the fourth man on the trip. All right, so we got the ticket set. We got the travel. We talked about the travel. We basically got that set, but then we had to handle the lodging, and obviously Cooperstown, New York is a very small town in the middle of New York State, upstate New York, if you will. I don't really like using that term, but whatever. I'm sure most people listening probably are familiar with it. Regardless, Cooperstown, there's not a lot of lodging. You know, two popular Yankees, one very popular Yankee getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. Hotels, motels booked out years in advance. So we go to Airbnb. Who would like to discuss the Airbnb experience? Anthony, of course, booked it, and I was kind of consulting with you on it. Were you a little hesitant, Anthony, to book the Airbnb or no?
You know what? I wasn't, just because of, and I'm sorry to all the listeners. I'm a faithful listener of the podcast as well. I'm sorry, I'm not going to disclose too much because I'm hedging my bets that we can maybe line the same place up for next year.
Don't forget, I didn't tell them our address. I'm not telling them where we stayed.
But you know what? It was crazy. I mean, from reading a bunch of different blogs and checking out the internet, trying to see where to stay, you know, I saw things as far as, you know, stay in Albany and drive in, or stay in Utica and drive in, stay in Oneonta and drive in.
Which we heard from a lot of people that were in lines with us, Uber drivers, so on and so forth, that that's what people were doing. But,
well, I mean, our location here is literally probably about 8 minutes from the Hall of Fame by drive. There was some Uber access early on in the week. The one Uber driver we met, I believe his name was Paul. Paul pretty much told us that if we try and get a hold of him before noon, he's not picking us up because he sleeps in. So nonetheless, we did a lot of early morning driving, but there was a lot of parking in town. Some of it was affordable, and you know, I mean, you walk a little bit, but everything's close in the downtown area. But the Airbnb experience worked out great. I'm very happy with our location. I think it would be very hard to manage this trip and experience it all if you were driving into town every day. Not to say it's impossible, you could definitely do it, but I think being this close makes it a lot easier.
It's been great. You know, the location's been great, as Anth said. The amenities that are here are super. We're sitting here on a patio. I can't keep on talking about how great it is. I mean, we're sitting here, we're relaxing. We've been doing this for now. This is the third night, so it's been super.
Yeah, exactly. And we're here, obviously, four nights. We're going to be here till tomorrow. We're going to meet Mo tomorrow afternoon after he does this roundtable at Doubleday Field or at Clark Sports Center. We'll see where it actually ends up being. But regardless, we're going to get to meet Mo tomorrow, and then we're going to head back on our way. All right, so now we got the lodging out of the way, we got the travel out of the way, we got the tickets out of the way. Let's just talk about the overall experience, and we'll go around. Rob, we'll start with you. What was your favorite thing about Cooperstown and this trip so far? Like, what was the one thing that when you go back home and you talk to fellow Yankee fans, you're gonna be like, this is the one thing I did and it was awesome? Was it seeing the plaque getting posted? Because, by the way, of the four of us, Rob's the only one that got to see that.
That was a really incredible experience. I mean, it was kind of doing it organically, doing it live, as we like to say. After the induction, within a few hours, the plaques would be actually put on the walls. And we had gone back into town, and the line was starting to build up, so I stayed. The line and the wait was totally worth it. Surrounded by Seattle fans, they were absolutely fantastic. They couldn't be more excited about Edgar Martinez coming to the Hall of Fame. I can't get over how many people flew literally across the country.
Great point.
To be here. So many Seattle fans.
Great point.
Maybe more Seattle fans than Yankee fans, really.
No,
I mean, I don't think there were more Seattle. No, I don't. But when you factor in the travel, the Seattle fans thoroughly impressed, for all of us, I would say, we would agree. They really impressed us.
Contingency. I might battle you that when we get off.
Yeah,
you know,
no, there were a large
this,
I agree with that. There were a large contingency, but I think there were more Yankee fans, but that's almost to be expected. The fact that there were as many Mariner fans as there were was incredible. It really was.
It was definitely, it was Yankees Mariners this weekend for sure. But that being said, I guess last year they started this kind of impromptu ceremony where in the back of the hall where all of the plaques are, they almost have a parade-esque type of ceremony where Hall of Fame
officials,
employee, will bring the actual plaque in after the family had time taking pictures after these induction ceremonies, and they parade the plaque in and they held the plaque up and you got to see the plaque and literally see them, you know, bolting it to the wall.
Wow.
You know, over top of the signature panels that they had done back in the spring when the inductees first came to Cooperstown to more or less get their introduction. Standing in line, hearing the representatives from the Hall of Fame talk about how it was almost like wedding planning. It was an incredible experience, Ralph. I mean, to see them go up, and then I was first in line. And once all of the news media came through, they took their videos of the plaques being up. I am the first Yankee fan who had his picture taken in front of the Mariano plaque. So it's a feather in my cap that may mean absolutely nothing to anybody other than myself.
No, but I think that's so cool, though.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I was, you know, they closed down Main Street in Cooperstown for Saturday and Sunday. And so there we were earlier today having our induction ales in the middle of Main Street, just enjoying life. It was a gorgeous day. There was a beautiful sunset happening. I did not regret that for one second. I did get a little bit of shopping done finally as well, which was nice. But that is such a cool experience. Let's go to Anthony. What was your, if you're going to go back and talk to Yankee fans about one thing that you experienced or did this weekend, what would it be?
Coming here to watch, you know, I'm 35 years old, so Mariano was kind of like those late 90s World Series teams. I mean, I grew up watching those guys, so to see them get in the Hall of Fame, especially Mariano today, who's probably my favorite Yankee, and to be there with, you know, some of my best friends and my father, I think that kind of tops it all off for me.
We had the benefactor tickets. That doesn't necessarily guarantee you a seat, though, right?
I believe it does guarantee you a seat for the induction ceremony within the tented area in front, or I'm sorry, within the barricaded area in front of the stage. Yeah, and there's multiple zones within that area. Your ticket tells you what zone you sit in, and then at that point, it's kind of like, all right, first come, first serve within your zone.
Would you recommend getting, you know, for next year, someone's going to become a benefactor member, they're going to get the tickets. Should they, you know, usually this starts around 1:30, they open that barricaded area around 11:30. What time would you recommend they get there?
The benefactor membership comes with 4 tickets. You can also buy, I believe, the president's level membership, which is only 2 tickets, and I think it's half the price as the benefactor. They did have 1-year and 2-year options. I'm not sure what they're doing at this point because I haven't looked, obviously, because I locked in for 2 years. As far as what time you get there, if you are a member that has seating, in my personal opinion, it probably doesn't matter what time you get there. I mean, we got there pretty early today and we got a seat the second row of our section. But there were a couple periods of time where I left the seat and just kind of walked around within the barricaded area. And I think the sight lines, even from the far back of the section, are just as good. Where our seats were, we were nowhere close to the stage.
Right.
But I don't think it's necessary that you get there and camp out in line to get into the members area, because you can stand in the back of that area, sit in the back, and have just as good, if not better, sight lines to the stage. So,
Ralph, talking to, you know, some of the employees that were working the event today, one of the things that they said, within the past few years, they actually started what they called an unofficial tradition where they're allowing people to pitch tents and put chairs down on Thursday. You know, you gave me the opportunity to tweet, you know, during today's induction, and one of the pictures I tweeted out was of just the sea of humanity behind us, and I'll just call it Tentville. You know, there's kind of like a hill or a ridge that sits back, you know, behind everything with all the pop-up tents. There had to be 100 pop-up tents, and they were telling me that people put those down on Thursday, you know, so awesome experience, but not to fight and to have to stake out, you know, a section, even though maybe we ended up being a little bit further back than maybe we had anticipated. Totally worth it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I agree. All right, Anthony Sr., what did you enjoy the most about this weekend? The one thing that you'll talk about the most, obviously. And by the way, again, we preface this with, we're going to meet Mo tomorrow. That's probably going to be the thing that we want to talk about afterwards. But as far as this weekend, as far as just, you know, leading up to the induction and then the actual induction ceremony.
First of all, I think the thing that struck me first was, as a baseball fan, today, for example, you're seeing Vladdy Guerrero, who was inducted last year, and then you see Hank Aaron coming out, and then you see Sandy Koufax, who is the longest tenured, in the Hall of Fame. From a historical standpoint, these guys, you guys don't remember Sandy Koufax, but I do, and I remember Henry Aaron. And so, you know, that's really something special. And then when you see somebody like Mariano Rivera, who obviously was such a key contributor to the Yankee dynasties in the mid to late 90s and into the early 2000s, kind of gives you chills to see that connection between Sandy Koufax and Mariano Rivera. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that's really special. The other thing that I will say also, for those of you who may want to come down here next year for the induction, is the people that you see, the old stars that you see. One of the highlights for me, I'm going to be honest with you, was meeting Chris Chambliss. Yeah. Chris Chambliss, you know, he hit the game-winning home run in 1976 against the Kansas City Royals that propelled the Yankees to the World Series in 1976. They hadn't been in the World Series since 64. So somebody who grew up during that time, that was one of the biggest home runs for me, because that's something I'll never forget.
That's a great point, too, seeing a lot of the old stars. Anthony, you did some of the MAB shows as well. We could talk about Saturday very briefly, because I know you did some of the MAB shows, and MAB-celebrity.com, they do a great job with their autograph shows. If you go to there, if you're going to come here next weekend for Hall of Fame weekend, they always do a what they call a Hall of Fame spectacular. Anthony participated in that. Frank Thomas, Ricky Henderson, Vlad Guerrero as well. Actually, got his autograph too. We weren't really planning on sticking around for the parade. We ended up seeing a little bit of it, but we saw the best part of it. The best part of the parade by far was the very end of the parade, because Mariano was last. And just to give you an idea, it's been humid and hot. Besides the time that we're taping right now, it's been hot and humid in Cooperstown all weekend long. So yesterday, we're on Main Street in Cooperstown, and a lot of the old timers, and it's tough for me to get on these guys for doing this, because some of them are a little up in age, some of them are in better condition than others. You know, they do this parade of legends down Main Street, and they're all in these pickup trucks, and normally they sit on the bed of the pickup truck and or they walk alongside the truck during this parade. Pretty much every single Hall of Famer was not only in the truck, but on the passenger side. There were, in some instances, tinted windows. And then in some instances, the nameplate on the top of the truck didn't say who was inside. So think about it like this. You've staked out a spot on this parade route, and you're on the driver's side of the parade route. Well, you're not seeing anybody. You don't even know half the people that are driving by. The best part, though, and we lucked out on this, we ended up being at the very beginning of the route when Mariano's truck got onto the route. And of course, Mariano, in typical Mariano Rivera fashion, is he sitting in the passenger seat with the window rolled up? Of course he's not. He's in the bed of the truck with his wife, both hands clenched, pumping his fists, waving everyone, and then at one point in the parade route, actually gets out of the truck and starts walking the route to meet and greet everyone inside Cooperstown, and even signs autographs?
Signs autographs. As I was waiting for his plaque to be hung earlier this evening after the induction, there was several Mariner fans, much to my dismay, who landed Mariano autographs while they were waiting in the parade line. He and Johnny Bench, you know, were the only two Hall of Fame members that got out of the truck, walked the line, shook hands. And actually, through the course of the weekend, we've talked with some locals that said this year's parade was pretty much an anomaly with the lack of signage and the announcing of names, and the weather really kind of threw a wrench in it. It's really maybe the only fly in the ointment, if you will, in that, you know, everything else was just top notch, well run. And Mariano, you know, he stole the show.
Some of the places we hit, Cooley's, right off of Main Street. We popped in there. We had a round and an appetizer there. Also, Cooperstown Distillery was doing a Sandman Pilsner. They were selling four packs of that. We had that. That was great. We had it a couple different spots. The Induction Ale, which was fantastic as well. We'll wrap up, actually, with this great panel discussion about Cooperstown and the Moe Induction. We haven't talked a lot about Mike Messina. Look, we're all extremely happy for Moose. He's a bit of a recluse. At the end of the day, he was the only member of the new class here that did not do an autograph signing. You kind of got the vibe from him from the announcement right through today that he kind of didn't expect it. He kind of didn't, you know, really like the attention. And then, look, that's consistent with the way he was throughout his playing career as well, and how he's been post playing career also. And so, very happy for Moose. Thought he gave a great speech, but we haven't focused too much on him. Let's just talk about Mariano's speech a little bit. Anthony Sr., I think you and I caught on to something early on. What was the one thing that stuck out with you about Mariano's speech and how he kind of structured it?
The thing that I thought that was very unique, but it also represents who Mariano Rivera is. Most of the inductees recognized the hall first. Mariano recognized Jesus Christ, and we know that Mariano is a very religious individual, and his wife is also, and his family. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that stuck out. The importance of his family came out loud and clear The other thing about Mariano Rivera that I think that makes him special, and I think that makes him somewhat unique in this day and age, he recognizes how blessed he was, and as a result of that, how giving he is to people. He was constantly smiling the entire time. Any time when we saw him in the parade, any pictures, any photos that they shown of him, you know, during the weekend, this guy was just unbelievable. And that's the way, I believe that's the way he's always been. When you think about his final season, the way he handled that, he's a class act. It was really cool, too, when he talked about celebrating his birthdays with his kids. and his one son's birthday, I think it was Mariano Jr., his birthday is in October, and he said, geez, I'm sorry, but I was really driven then.
I was on a mission, he said. He's on a mission then, which is great. And you know, they show Mariano Jr. in the crowd, and he's got a big smile on his face, and that was pretty funny. And then his other son, his birthday is always at the start of when pitchers and catchers report for spring training. So for me, that was one thing that stood out. Another thing that stood out, and let's be honest here, there were two people he did not mention that I was a little surprised. The first one is not that big of a deal, and that's Joe Girardi. And the reason why I say that is because A, he was one of the guys who caught him, but also B, he only had two managers. You know, he wasn't Lee Smith. He only had two managers. He had Joe Torre and Joe Girardi. And look, obviously Torre, he won the majority of his World Series championships with. Torre's the guy that gave him that confidence in 96 and put him in the bullpen and gave him that vote of confidence then again in 97 when he made him the closer. So you understand his affinity for Joe Torre, but Joe Girardi, by the way, was there. He's a part of MLB Network's coverage for the ceremony, and so he's there on set watching this whole thing. He doesn't mention Joe Girardi. The other person he doesn't mention, though, is Gene Stickmichael, and he did go out of his way to mention, obviously, the Steinbrenner family, and also and Brian Cashman in the front office. He doesn't mention Stick. Anybody else surprised by that? Anthony Senior, were you?
Yeah, I was, because Stick was the general manager when Mariano came up. I'm pretty sure that at that time, Mr. Steinbrenner was suspended. Gene Michael was the guy who was basically running the show for the Yankees, and that's when Mariano came up.
And, you know, you hear the stories, I think they're more prevalent with Bernie Williams, who, by the way, did a fantastic job today. We tweeted that video. Rob did a great job tweeting at Pinstripe Lanes on Twitter. Bernie playing the national anthem to start off things, and then he played Take Me Out to the Ball Game with a little interpolation of Enter Sandman, which was great for all the Yankee fans there. It was prevalent, all the stories we heard about Steinbrenner wanting to trade Bernie and Stick stepping in and saying, we're not trading him, thank goodness. But I think that was the case with Mariano as well. So that made it a little extra surprising, especially with, you know, Stick's passing last year, that he didn't mention him. Did I miss anything, guys? Any final thoughts before we wrap things up or no? Rob V?
I think one of the things, being with, you know, three people that are, you know, really important to me, you know, three close friends to spend this weekend with, and for Yankee fans out there, this team has transcended our lives.
Anthony, any final closing thoughts?
You know, from a fan experience, just in general, even if you're not a Yankees fan, you know, I mean, there's so much going on in this town this weekend. The other thing I would say too is just from a fan experience, if you're looking to take everything in downtown Cooperstown on Main Street, if you're going on Hall of Fame weekend, I would recommend doing that on Friday and then Sunday after the induction. Saturday is very, very busy and congested there, so you don't have the ability really to appreciate everything that's one in the museum than in the different stores and shops.
We could do a whole podcast on the different shops and stuff, but let me just ask you real quick before I go to your dad for his final thoughts. Ricky Henderson, he flies into Albany, but he's flying from San Fran, I think, to Atlanta. Flight's delayed, misses his connection, gets into Albany, and then I guess they drive him then to Cooperstown, and then you get to meet him, and Anthony gets this awesome, finishes off a beautiful piece. Ricky, Dave Winfield, and Don Mattingly, they're at old Yankee Stadium, renovated Yankee Stadium, in their pinstripe pants and batting practice navy jerseys. He's already got Winfield and Mattingly signature. He just needs Ricky. So then you hand the photo to Ricky. You paid for a ticket. You get him to sign it. What does your boy Ricky Henderson tell you?
Oh, Ricky was great. He was like, wow, look at this crew right here. This is a tough crew. I love these guys. And he signed the pitcher. And, you know, the other cool thing about that, I know we talked about, there's a photo opportunity fee to take a picture with these guys, but I will tell you, from Ricky to Vlad to Frank Thomas to I saw it happen with Chipper Jones, Randy Johnson, every Hall of Famer that was there at that signing, if you are getting an autograph and you say, hey, can I take a quick picture with you? they have no problem letting you take a selfie with them. And Ricky was the same. It was great. I took a nice selfie with Ricky Henderson. And that was kind of cool because, you know, my early days as a Yankees fan, I remember Don Mattingly, Dave Winfield, Ricky. So it was neat. Take a picture with him. He was really funny. He was a good guy.
That was a great piece, too. All right, as we wrap up, Anthony Sr. and I wrapping up also our Rothschild cigars, which actually went down very nicely produced on both of our parts. I guess your final thoughts on this weekend.
As a Yankee fan, if you come down to Cooperstown, you really need to go to the Hall of Fame. Because New York Yankee and New York Yankee history is pretty much all throughout the Hall of Fame, going back to Babe Ruth all the way to Mariano Rivera. There's a brilliant display that shows all 27 of the World Championships. I highly recommend. It's on the third floor of the Hall of Fame. It's an exhibit that shows 20, the number 27 in pinstripes. Electronic, it then flashes pictures of the various championships going all the way to the beginning, all the way to 2009. It shows Reggie hitting the home run. It shows Jeter. It shows every DiMaggio, Mantle, everybody. Yeah. So as a Yankee fan, you really need to come out here. I'm looking forward to next year because for me, over the course of the last since the mid '90s. Derek Jeter's the man, so I'm looking forward to him being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. Anthony?
Doc Halliday was a hell of a pitcher, and I got to be honest with you, during the induction ceremony, his wife just did a tremendous job, and it really kind of touched the heartstrings, made you choke up a little bit because he was a hell of a pitcher, and she was tremendous on the stage.
It was the most emotional part of the induction ceremony today, listening to his wife, Brandy. It really had to bring, it touched the heartstrings today, and she was very emotional, as one would expect. But what was also interesting was everybody, not only the fans, but all of the legends that were standing behind her, gave her a standing ovation throughout, and well-deserved. And I don't know how I myself could have been able to do something like that, to be quite frank.
Great trip to Cooperstown this weekend. I got to say, as a part of four guys who love baseball and love the Yankees, I think we leave this trip loving baseball and loving the Yankees even more, if you can imagine that. And that's just how special this small town is and how special this weekend is. And it was like that, obviously, this weekend for Moose and for Mo. And I'm sure next year for the captain, it'll be even more so that. No closing segment. That's a wrap for us on episode number 30 of the Pinstripe Plains podcast. Thank you for rating, reviewing, and subscribing wherever you find us. We're at Pinstripe Plains on all your favorite social networks. And we'll catch you hopefully next week here on another edition of the Pinstripe Plains podcast as we talk about things that fans of the first place New York Yankees in the AL East care about. Thanks for tuning in. Let's go Yankees. Take care.